Yeah, let's talk a bit about some songs, maybe. I mean, all everything you said, it's in the songs as well. But yeah, first of all, the sound. You moved more to hip hop, which you like very much, as you explained before. But nevertheless, why now? Why did you produce hip hop sounds now and not with the last record?
Well, as I said before, like I had a bunch of plans about, you know, a bunch of records that had different sounds and different themes. So hip hop is something I always incorporated in my music. I mean, City Nowadays is like, I don't know if you know that song, but it's very, you can see a very hip hop line through that. It's just a rock and roll sort of hip hop. But because I had to mix up all the songs and didn't get to put them out in the way I wanted, it just looks muddled in turn, or it just on my end, as someone who knows what all the songs are, even the ones that people haven't heard, it's, you know, it comes out muddled. But yeah, I mean, even before I put out my first record, I was developing my sound into that sort of direction, and I wouldn't even call it a direction. It's a bag I can tap into. It's a tool I have. It's like I have a folk tool, I have a rock and roll tool, I have a hip hop tool, I have a sort of a jazz tool. You know what I mean? And it just depends on what the song is, what you want to say in a song, and beyond a song, what you want to say in an album. Yeah, if you're saying.
But which mood does hip hop represent to you? So is it more the angriness, or kind of, I don't know, resistance?
I think, well, it's rebellion and resistance and in beautiful rebellion, I call it. Like, yeah, it's like beautiful rebellion, you know? It's like, I mean, you could very much write a love song in a hip-hop form, but, you know, we know that a singy vibe is probably would hit more, like if you wanted to really go there about that, you know. You know what I mean? So if you can do that, then, and you really want to like hit home that you love this person, you know, you might want to sing it, you know what I mean? I don't even think hip hop itself, you know, the mainstream hip hop, I think I listen to contemporary mainstream hip hop the most out of all the genres, out of all things I listen to. But I don't even think mainstream hip hop itself is confined in, you know, beautiful rebellion anymore, because it's, or, you know, the specific sounds of beautiful rebellion anymore, because it hip hop itself it takes so many forms nowadays. You know, it's triplet melodies and trap music and old school.
Yeah, and it's part of capitalism, isn't it? So
yeah, exactly.
And it's the opposite of the idea.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe. So the song "The Cage," it's a kind of fundamental critique on capitalism, isn't it? Would you say that capitalism is the reason why we become crazy in the end?
No. Like I don't think so. Like, because capitalism's always been around. Capitalism is bartering. Like, it's the same. You know, when people say, "Oh, can't we go back to bartering?" What are they talking about? Like, that's where capitalism comes from. Like, I'm going to trade my headphones for your bunch of pens or whatever. And then that becomes kind of unsustainable. So you use currency, you know what I mean? And then what's the problem with capitalism, which I'm pretty sure capitalism was really fine until money started getting into politics, and what happens with capitalism a lot when it's on. Oh yeah, it was fine until the 70s when Margaret Thatcher and Ronald Reagan, made it the be all and end all of life, and that, you know, they took away working class rights pretty much, and made the financial sector like the dominant force of money making. Or, I don't know how to explain it, but. It's the way it's used, I guess. And like the problem with it is that when you accumulate, people who accumulate a lot of wealth, which is fine because some people start from nothing and get everything. But people who accumulate a lot of wealth, I mean, it used to be more traditional for wealthy people to be philanthropists, and that was like that would mean like a billionaire would invest into the public, you know, they'd be doing stuff constantly to give back to society. But now it's more like I guess we had a golden age of that, like in between the kings and now, but they'd sort of accumulate wealth, and then or they'd have wealth and they'd be philanthropists. I'm pretty sure that's what philanthropy means. You're giving back to society. But now it's like now, because it's so ingrained into politics, we can't even say that, oh, you know, if you earn something something billion, then you get taxed something something something, you know, because they're in control of the media, because they're in control of the politicians, because they fund their campaigns and stuff, then they've sort of dictated who gets hired, who gets to run the system, and then they give them tax breaks and stuff, and then and that's the problem that keeps on coming up, and it's the problem that happened in the 2008 crash. When we were just bailing out banks, even though they're the ones that caused the problem, and then the people like had to pay the price, you know what I mean? So it's flipped around to just we're paying for billionaires, so we've become slave. Like it's different degrees of it, of course, but it's, you know, the working man who's going to his cubicle, his office every day and tapping in numbers. That's kind of a form of slavery. You're a slave to a massive institution, and a massive institution that isn't taxed enough for the money to filter back down into society. So, you know, there's areas just which really shouldn't make sense in this day and age, but there are areas just dilapidated and stuff, and whilst other areas there's big high rises being built that are, where the rent costs £900 per month or so, you know what I mean, for a box room or something, or you know what I mean.
And do you see as well a link between capitalism and racism, for example? So is there a connection?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I think it's more a symptom of racism. Is that form of racism or discrimination or systemic racism is a form of it's just a symptom of power and the symptom of how power works. So I don't know, like, you know how say George Floyd, for example, like that incident, like Derek Chauvin like putting his knee on his neck, to me that was the straw that sort of broke the camel's back in terms of people seeing it too much, But that, you know, when you get into the details, it's like they knew each other, and they had animosity. Derek Chauvin was obviously racist, you know, obviously had a problem with black people, whatever. But the system's so corrupted that he didn't feel like he'd get any retribution from doing what he did whilst he was being recorded. And to me, that's more of an issue of power. And like, that's more of an issue of how corrupted power is. I don't know how to link it cleanly with capitalism, because I mean, how would you link it with capitalism?
Yeah, you're right, it's not cleanly, but as you said, if there are people who have power, and normally rich people have a lot of power, and statistically rich people are more white than black, so that's just that's reality so far, then you can conclude the consequences, at least, are maybe not the motivation of the people, but the consequences.
Yeah, but I think that's more to do with the corruption of power, because we both know that we live in the Western world. Black people are a minority, so of course there's going to be more wealthy, white people. But in both England and America, for example, I'm pretty sure this is how it is in the West, in Berlin and like Germany and like a lot of the rest of Europe. But it's more potent in America because the history is younger, and it's just more easy to trace where things come from, like, or how situations occur and what the history is. But like color. or the underclass has just become darker skinned. But it's still a class issue. It's about class and it's about power. It's about the underclass not having that much power. But the underclass has become more dark because the English, you know, the British Empire, like, made the world smaller. They went into areas where people had darker skin, and then you know, those people immigrated to the Western world because, you know, now they could. But when they immigrated to the Western world, a lot of them were in the underclass, and like the underclass before was Irish people. Like, do you know what I mean? They didn't have it like as potently bad, but it's like they were the underclass. I'm pretty sure Jewish people were underclass or a lot of the time as well. You know, and this. And because they shared the same color skin as the upper class, it was obviously more of a class issue. You know, if you read Charles Dickens, what does he go on about all the time? You know, the class issue. But as time goes forward, you know, and the British Empire like happens, and like Africans and Indians and, you know, people from and Caribbeans and stuff come to like England, say. They're in the underclass, and then because classism is has always been a big issue since Charles Dickens, you know, since before Charles Dickens, and the issue has been, it's hard for underclass people to get into upper class, you know what I mean, and to make their way up the ladder, you know what I mean, and to be represented, and you know, and to, you know, the unions, the, you know, the miners and stuff, you know what I mean. And in America, obviously the story is a little different, but it's more, because America's built on the fact that you're supposed to be able to come from nothing and, you know, go to be president. Then it's we don't have that in England, so it's just a different dynamic. But it's the same issue where the underclass has no power, and we have less power now because money has is so intertwined into politics. That so it's just become more obvious that how corrupt it is, and I think pretty much I remember us talking about it a lot before Brexit and before Trump, how the media had been compromised and how there was too much money and too much money in politics and all that stuff, and that's how Trump got elected, because he said he's going to clean out the swamp, you know what I mean? And in and in Britain, especially in England, like, that's why people voted Brexit. That, you know, they, a lot of them weren't racist. It's just the older people remembered that the European Union was supposed to be, you know, a sort of a marketplace, but then it became like a central, you know, a central beacon for just unelected rule. You know what I mean? So that's what people had a problem with. You know what I mean? Especially the older people, and that's why they lashed out, because no one was addressing that issue. You know what I mean? And people were still not addressing that issue. That's why George Floyd got killed. Like, that's why Derek Chauvin, that police officer, was able to do that, because he had, because he felt safe in his power. Like, and they're feeling safe in their power. That, you know, I mean, Julian Assange, for example. He's in a prison in England right now, and he's going to be extradited to America. And essentially, all he's done is had informant, or not informants, had you know, people that call him up and say, "Hey, this thing happened," and he's been a journalist and written about it. Like, so, you know, it's like it's like different forms of just it's different forms of knees on our neck. You know what I mean? Where you're just watching power do what it wants, whilst that's the 2008. That's 2008 bank crisis. That's a massive knee on everyone's neck. It's like people were like, the banks were sort of gambling with our money, and then, you know, they've lost. And then, you know, especially here in, well, I don't know how you guys dealt with it, but we had to pay it from the public sector, you know, through austerity. And that's a knee on our neck, because we all were like, everyone was like, that's not right. But we did it anyway, because power isn't answerable to anyone, you know, which it should be, but it's not. Like, so, and that's why that police officer with his knee on George Floyd's neck was just looking at the camera, not giving a fuck, because he had power, you know? So to me, it's less about racism. The racism thing is just a symptom. It's like, if you're underclass, if a lot of your underclass, especially in the inner cities, is darker skinned in a majority white country, then, and the power doesn't have to answer to anyone, so that means racists in power are free to act on their prejudice. You know what I mean? And if they're free to act on their prejudice, then discrimination is free to behave how it likes when it's in the position of power. So, you know, that's just a symptom of a system being completely corrupted.
Do you see democracy in danger? If you look at Russia, and in this song, "When You Play God," you sing as well about Putin. Or when you look at Trump and, yeah, all these old guys, do you see it in danger?
Yeah, I do. But it's more like you're seeing how fragile it is, because that's what I mean about we live in a very privileged generation, because we don't realize that, we forget how many people have died so we can have the right to just go out and vote. You know what I mean? And because the right to go out and vote, you know, it started with people who own, you know, men who own land, and, you know, because they were the ones doing stuff. And people always bring up in, you know, the Constitution that was, it was white men who owned land. Like, that's a whole different thing. So it was people with property. And that's why people had, like, would go and get slaves, because then they'd have property, then they have like a position in the world, and like have the right to vote. You know what I mean? To me, I'm an optimist, so I wouldn't say it's in danger, but, well, I don't like to think it's in danger, but it's more looking more fragile because yeah, people like Trump and what else? Which is the other person you said?
Putin.
Oh yeah, people like Trump, Putin, China, but also the reaction to that on the other side, on the left side, has been sort of overreaction to the point where it's silencing its own people, so people can't. So anyone down the middle is demonized. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's like in the Western world, it's like the way people are starting to want to edit language and like to police language and to use newspeak and to not say what's really on their mind, which is kind of the reason why Brexit and Trump happened in the first place. It's like the thing that worries me more actually is that is because it's like that's because of the internet, because everyone can be in their bubble and people are so scared to hear something of a differing opinion that they just can't, you know, they can't even get their minds around that someone might think differently from them, and they might have to like talk about or communicate, you know what I mean, about an issue from a different perspective. Yeah, and it's like it seems like we're sleepwalking into 1984 collectively, you know, together through the ideologies, like through people's ideologies, you know what I mean. Here's like there's Trump and then there's the opposite of Trump, but the opposite of Trump got Trump elected because the opposite of Trump was not saying anything about immigration for fear of it sounding racist, you know what I mean, which was a thing before Trump, you know what I mean. People would bring it up over here, especially if you were working class, like working class people who lived in poorer areas would bring it up, but they'd be seen as racist. And there are racists who say that stuff, but not everyone who says that is racist, because we have borders and there are people of working class and there are companies, big institutions, the ones we just talked about, who don't want to pay tax and don't want to spend that much money on their own land or whatever, who hire people from other places because it's cheaper, you know what I mean? And like, and that means that the working class can't get the jobs. So that's an issue. So if you silence everyone who speaks about that and call them racist, they're not going to be able to say anything, and they're going to go to a fringe party, or they're going to listen to a demagogue like Trump when he pops up out of thin air and says, hey, I'm saying the things that you've been told you can't talk about, you know? So it's like a vicious cycle every time. And it's like, yeah, that's the thing that frightens me. Like, if people don't sort of start to understand that you need to hear things that might make you uncomfortable, and that's fine, because that's life, then it's gonna get really, we're gonna turn into like the Soviet Union or, you know, Germany, like Berlin before the wall fell down, you know what I mean? We're just sleepwalking into that. We're gonna turn into like the, you know, Communist Party in China, you know? It's just, and you know, we already have elements of it where, like, as I say, Julian Assange, he's literally not allowed to see his lawyer in private, which is completely illegal. Like, it's completely, that's not right. There's an issue there. Like, and why is he there? Because he dared highlight some problems with power, you know what I mean? With people being corrupt.
Yeah, it's funny because we could talk about this for hours now and analyze the world for hours, but in the end, and this is how you sing as well, things ain't changed. So even if we criticize the whole day or we try to change, game of life will always be the same. So it's a matter of fact. So, but is it a good or a bad truth?
But it's a I don't know, it's a neutral truth. The game of life will never change, but the players change, and you can play the game properly, you know what I mean? With good players. So, like, you know, the game of life is, unfortunately, the game of life is very much like how chimpanzees and tigers work, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You're going to wander around looking for food, and then someone is going to be the alpha, you know, have the alpha female and the alpha male of the tribe, and, you know, the unlucky, you know, beta male is going to wander around until, like, maybe puts up some strength for a fight, and, like, you know what I mean, and, like, and then gets beaten or doesn't. It's the, you know, it's the same, of course, with the intricacies of the human mind, but essentially it's this, we're animals, we're super advanced animals, so we can't forget that. I think we're super, like, I think that doesn't mean to downgrade us. I mean, I think we're amazing. Like, I think we're magical, to be honest. And yeah, like, but we're still animals. We're still a product of the world.
We want to play God.
Yeah, like, and we want to play God because we are gods. Like, we're talking on a mobile phone. You know what I mean?
I mean, we created God, so.
Yeah, exactly. We, like, God was our imaginary friend. To get us to a point where we could grow into being gods, you know what I mean? So, yeah, that's I think that's perfectly like a natural direction to go in. But we are still animals, and the hierarchy does exist. It's like, I've heard so much talk about the hierarchy and, you know, the system not being in, but I'm pretty sure the fundamental properties of the system have never changed since us being hunter-gatherers, you know what I mean? It's just gotten more complicated, and we've got cities and stuff like that. The game of life is you need to eat, you need a place to sleep, you need a place to be buried. Like, you know, just all the normal things in life, and you want to be loved. That's pretty much the game of life. But in our systems, that are just the systems who sort of moderate the game have become corrupted by power, by money. I think that's the only issue. Like, it's become, so you can't really vote any difference in, because it's like, you know how back in the day, the kings and the queens would, it doesn't matter who, you know, if a king died and then, you know, a queen or king took over their place, yeah, they might be, have a little difference of the way they do things, but it would essentially stay the same. The structure would stay the same. We were sort of getting out of that through our old revolutions and stuff like that, and then democracy. You know what I mean? Which was slowly what democracy has been doing. Slowly is like, its intention is to give power to everyone rather than just people with property and stuff, with people with money, like, to give everyone a voice. I'm pretty sure that was working okay until money became synonymous with politics, and then, you know, then it's exactly the same system pretty much as when kings were around, because it doesn't matter who you vote in, it doesn't matter what prime minister or president you vote in, if they have to abide by the rules of the people that funded their election, you know what I mean? And, you know, if that makes any sense.
Of course. Yeah, it's really interesting to talk about all these things, even if it's not directly in your music. But yeah, it was super interesting. Yeah, I think we should come to an end. What do you think? I mean...
But yeah, sorry, I didn't answer anything about the music.
In the beginning. That's enough. It's okay. Yeah, we have time. So LA, I thank you so much for this conversation.
Thank you.
That's really interesting.
Thank you very much for speaking to me.